Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, I recently came across the story of a little 8-year-old boy. His mother had been busily working, sewing, and making things in the house, and then she left the house for a moment to go outside for some reason. And this little 8-year-old boy saw his mother's sewing shears laying beside the sewing machine. Knowing that his mother treasured these ginger scissors, he picked them up, and first he cut a thread, and it cut it very cleanly. And then it was a piece of fabric. And then he did something really dumb. At 8 years old, he knew the danger of electricity, but he took the scissors over, and he cut the cord in half. In a moment, sparks flew in his face, and blue and red light shattered the darkness. And one piece fell that way, and the other fell that way, and the boy was terrified. He gathered himself together, and he ran down in the basement to the darkest corner that he could find, where he knew that no one would ever be able to find him. And there he stayed through the afternoon and finally into the evening, hiding in shame. My dear friends, this is exactly the scenario that we have in our Old Testament lesson for the day recorded in the book of Genesis. This is exactly what Adam and Eve are doing. They are crouching down in the bushes while God is taking his daily walk in the cool of the day. Why? Because they are afraid because of what they had done. God had given them a command, and they had reached beyond the boundary that God had placed there for them. They had did something that God had strictly commanded them not to do. You can eat of all the trees of the garden except this one. And if you eat of it, you will surely die. And now they hide and creeping in the bushes, looking, peering, hoping God doesn't see them, with the taste of death still lingering upon their lips. It was just moments ago that they were in fellowship with God. They would not have been afraid to walk with him in the cool of the day. They would have been in God's presence, walking and talking and fellowshipping with their God and Creator. But now everything has changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Now they no longer trust him. Oh, now they are afraid, and so they hide from him. Oh, these two that once reflected all of God's glory and that perfect image of God, now they only saw themselves. They were so self-conscious, so self-oriented, and so self-centered that they hid. The text tells us that their eyes were open and they noticed that they were naked. Funny thing is, that's the way God created them. All I gave you was a birthday suit, and that's all you have to wear. But now they are painfully aware that they are without clothes. What an uncomfortable feeling that must have been. Have you ever experienced that? You're in a compromising position, and someone else peers upon you. People go to prison for that. They were ashamed of their bodies that God had created and ashamed of what they had done. They felt utterly defenseless, vulnerable, and completely and utterly exposed. Do you realize that human beings are the only creatures God created that clothe themselves? So first Adam and Eve, they tried their whole fruit of the bloom and sewed those fig leaves together to cover their sinfulness. But we do the same thing, although we're much more sophisticated. I Google for the most popular dress manufacturers, and I come up with Ralph Lauren. I don't know what he knows about dresses, but apparently, ladies, Ralph, he's the guy to buy dresses in his designs. And gentlemen, I don't know if any of you own an Armani suit, but let me tell you, they're expensive. I once had one at the seminary. It was given to me as a gift, and it was a lot smaller than I was, but I made it work for a while. The clothes we wear are expensive. I was talking to Janelle before the service. She says, my daughter will shop at Kohl's when it's 80% off this time of year, shopping for next year. That girl thinks ahead, but clothes are expensive. We are the only creatures God has created that put them on. But like Adam and Eve, as a result of our sins, we live literally every moment of it, of our lives in hiding. We hide behind our own fig leaves that we try to use to cover up our sinfulness. And I like to refer to it as that veneer of self-righteousness. We hide behind our work and behind our play. We hide behind our social standing and behind our educational degrees. We like to hide. Because deep down inside, we know exactly who we are. And we do not want anyone else to know, especially God. And so we do our very best to cover our sins so that no one will ever see them. But we love hiding from God. We love to hide from His voice. Oh, sure, He's not walking down the cool of the day as we can walk and talk with Him. But today He still speaks to you through His preached word. And yet at times we hide from that. We hide from the table of fellowship with which our God comes into our very presence with the flesh and blood of Jesus. But we hide from Him there. We cover up our sins telling ourselves that they're really not all that bad. Pastor, you're a little antiquated. You see, everybody's doing it. It's in the movies. It's commonplace. Why are you such a fuddy-duddy? Why don't you get with the times? Everybody's doing it. It's okay. Even the government says it's fine. But we like to hide ourselves from each other, from offering understanding to a brother or sister in Christ or to someone in need. We hide ourselves. We hide because we don't want to get involved. We hide because we certainly at times do not love our neighbors as ourselves, as Christ Himself commands us. When we're angry, oh, we love to hide. I love to send a venomous Facebook post to someone else where I can hide behind my words. You ever try that? Or send a text when I'm really ticked off. Or I'll jot it in a letter. Or I'll just gossip about them behind their back so no one else will have to know. Well, at least them. I complain. Have you ever done that? We hide behind our complaining words. See, we hide because we also know that our sins have exposed us. Just like Adam and Eve, we are stark naked. Well, as a result of our sin, we become isolated. See, isolation is a form of punishment. Now, I'm not quite sure what they do in the public schools nowadays, but in the old days, when you misbehaved, you were isolated. I can tell you that for sure because when I was a sixth grader, I was isolated in the superintendent's office 23 times. In prison, they use isolation too. They don't call it that anymore. It's called restrictive housing. It's a polite way of saying you all could be by yourself and no one's going to come in contact with you except a correctional officer from time to time. Hiding from God is a self-imposed isolation that ultimately leads to death. Have you ever played hide-and-go-seek? You know, the whole point of hide and go seek is that the seeker can't find you, right? And I'll tell you, if you ever go, well, I'm not sure it's that way anymore because the church blew away, but at St. John and Pilger, they had an altar from the old church in the back, and it was empty in the backside of it. You could pull it out, and once you got through the cobwebs, it's a great place to hide. They would never find you in a game of sardines. But the point of hiding is that they don't find you. And a little boy, I read a story about a little boy that his sister was counting to 100, and his sister turned to hide, and he had discovered that in the front of his house, the porch set up a little bit, and there was a draft way underneath, and there was lattice around the outside. You see this in a lot of houses. And it was fairly close to the ground. And so the boy discovered that one of the lattice things was loose. He could pull it out. He could shimmy in behind it. And he shimmied in behind it all the way through the cobwebs and all the other debris to the other side of the porch. And he peered out to look at his sister counting by the tree, and he began to chuckle to himself, "She will never find me." And then all of a sudden he began to think, if something happens to me, no one will ever find me. And in that moment, suddenly he found it more important to be found than anything else. And so he took his leg and he kicked it through the lattice and hung it out far enough that his sister would either see it or trip over it, because he desperately wanted to be found. Did you notice something about Adam and Eve? They didn't go looking for Jesus. They didn't look for God. It wasn't them. It was God who went looking for them. God sought them out. And it's God who also seeks you and me. God's footsteps are heard. We hear his footsteps in our own lives. He draws nearer and nearer and nearer. And we hear that voice as Adam did. Adam, where are you? Well, you're an omniscient God. You know everything. You're even omnipresent. You're everywhere. God, you know exactly where Adam is. But God wanted Adam to know where he was. Adam, where are you in your relationship with me? Adam, where are you in your relationship with your wife and with the created world that I've made for you? Exactly where are you? This morning it is God who is calling out to you. Right where you're hiding today. Dear friends, he will never leave you alone. In those times when you hide from him, God's call to you is the exact same thing as it was to Adam. Where are you? Where are you right now? He calls us out in a hiding place, whether it be right here in this sanctuary, a cubicle at work, or in a car at a dinner table, wherever it may be. God calls out because he wants you to know where you are in relationship to him. You know, I think it's in the adversities of life that we face, within our diseases and the rebellious son or daughter or the fire or the tornado, that we hear God's voice the loudest. Where are you? See, exposed Adam hides behind his excuses. Well, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God says, who told you they were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And Adam took all the blame. Yep, it was me. I did it, Lord. No, he made an excuse. He says, no, it's actually your fault, God, because it's the woman that you gave to me. She gave me the fruit and I ate. And then Eve, what did she say? It's the serpent. He gave it to me and I ate of it. The problem was that Adam disobeyed. Adam ate of death itself. He plunged all the humanity into a relationship with God as enemies. Fear and shame were Adam's problem, not God's. And as enemies of God, he was willing to flee from God's presence. What's our excuse? I wonder at times, what are we hiding? Why are we hiding from him? Don't you know that God has this desire to be in a relationship with you? You can hear it in his word. Why is it that we don't pray to God like he's our best friend, hours on end? What's our excuse? Well, I'm too busy. I have other plans. In fact, God's really not all that important until I need him. Nonsense. It's all hiding no matter what form it takes. Have you ever had a disagreement with someone else? I mean, you got downright nasty with one another and you have this separation. And you don't feel like you can talk to them and they certainly won't talk to you. Have you ever felt that isolated? That's exactly how we are in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But how do we come out of hiding? It begins with confession. We speak to God and admit our shame, something that Adam and Eve were not willing to do. We admit who we are. Confession draws us out of hiding. It literally reveals us to God, who already knows who we are. He already knows what we have done. He knows our heart before we speak a word, but confession admits it to God. Oh, you've done it a few moments ago. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess you all my sins and iniquities, but did you mean it? See, as Lutherans, we get really good at saying it. I can even do it from memory now. After 20 years, I'd hope so. But you see, the reality is, do we actually acknowledge I do hide from God in the way that I live my life? There are times, Pastor, when my relationship with him isn't as close as I know it should be, and God's word commands it to be. I am not the disciple that he has called me to be. And we confess our sins. You may have wondered what happened to the little boy who cut his mom's sewing machine cord. Well, she finally found him. And when she found him, she simply said this: "Son, what happened when you cut the sewing machine cord with the scissors?" The boy who had been hiding for so long in his shame forgot about denying the sin and simply said, "Oh, Mom, sparks flew everywhere." And then he realized that he had come out and exposed himself. He had confessed his sin to his mother. He had revealed his guilt to her. But note, his mother didn't punish him. Although she maybe was a little bit mad inside, she never showed it on the outside. He wasn't spanked or grounded or fined, but he did have to help his dad fix the cord. And so it is with your Heavenly Father. When we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, Jesus came as the second Adam. He did something the first Adam could never do. First of all, fulfilling the law, doing what the Father had commanded, and he did it all perfectly for you. When it came time to offer himself upon the cross, he didn't hide from his Father. Jesus went willingly to right the wrongs that you and I commit daily in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. He literally crushed the power of Satan as Satan bruised his heel in death. Remember what happened to their little Fruit of the Loom outfits they had on? They're really kind of temporary and flimsy, right? Well, God did something really unthinkable. The text at the end says that God made garments of animal skins for them. Literally, God shed blood for the forgiveness of Adam and Eve. In the same way that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for you and for me. Jesus calls us out of isolation this morning into communion with him, and we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ who have come out of hiding to acknowledge not only who we are, but to receive all the gifts that God freely gives through faith in Jesus Christ. This morning, remember who you are. But more importantly, remember whose you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.